are tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in the studio with me Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. And Commissioner Slavik, it's great to have you back again.
Thank you. Great to be here.
In a previous segment, we discussed a little bit about the excellent workers that assist the county operations and things that go on, from 911 dispatchers to professional assistants, personal assistants. This segment, I'd like to talk a bit about some of the things that the county does throughout the summer, throughout the year, and throughout the times coming up. And it is this time of year that the Dakota County publishes and mails out their four-time-a-year county newsletter, and we're going to discuss some of the things going on that are listed in there. So, Commissioner Slavik, let's start off with just the county newsletter in general.
Sure, and just a quick correction. The newsletter comes out twice a year.
I thought it was four. I'm sorry.
No worries. But we do send a... You probably get touched with other mailers that come in. They're more the postcard size or some flyers.
Sure.
But about six times a year. So that's probably the four plus the two makes it makes it work. But, yeah, so over 200,000+ residents, every home, every apartment, and every business received the Dakota County newsletter last month. Mm-hmm. And so that's for the spring-summer newsletter. It would, if you have it, some people, it sits on their coffee table and they peruse through it every once in a while. It has a woman and a child on it. And in the spring-summer issue is always the performance. So that's where we kind of share a little bit of the highlights of what the county is doing on there. And there's stories that kind of go through that, as well as all of our newsletters in the middle have a pullout of the programming for our park system. So we used to send out a number of times on, here's what's going on in your parks, here's these things. Now we have a six-page pullout in the middle that you can pull out and keep track with that. So this is our newsletter that comes out. One of the things that I always like to make note on it is the number of calls that I used to get saying, why are you spending all that money? It looks so fancy. It looks like the Time magazine I get. And that was the point on that. But one of the things that we're very proud of is due to some competitive bidding and some of in-house, we go in and design the we have a graphic designer and our own communications team, mm-hmm, that goes in and builds and creates the whole newsletter. Then we send it out to a shipper, to a printer,
right,
and then a mail house. The printing costs and mail to every single resident and business in Dakota County is about 42 cents a copy. So it's we like to say, with what you spend on here, this has really been one of your best bang for your bucks,
mm-hmm,
because the communication and the information that is in here is just really well done. In fact, I would say this is probably what I get the most number of calls on. I can tell when a newsletter goes out because there's certain individuals who will reach out to me every time and just say, I got your newsletter and I didn't realize about this. We don't always, as elected officials, we don't always get the calls where people are being happy and kind.
Right.
Usually when you call an elected official, you start out being angry, and then we try to find a solution that gets you there. So these are some of those few glowing moments where usually the conversations are very positive.
So that's a good thing. So as people are looking through or receiving their newsletter for this spring and summer, what can they find within the covers?
Sure. Well, we kind of did a theme. It's our big cover story was really on, we called a place to call home within our performance measures. And that was really talking about home ownership and stable housing, affordable housing parts in there. So at the end of the the end of it, which was kind of our main article, was really at topics on what Dakota County does in that role. So, you know, mm-hmm, we obviously, most of what county government does is that emergency crisis type of situation. So we do obviously have our homeless shelters to our affordable housing and some of those crisis things there. But that is it's a big part of what we do as a county. It's the reason why we have our community development agency, which is a separate offshoot made up, mm-hmm, of the same county board members. It's the board, as we've discussed in the past, that I chair.
Mm-hmm.
And that locally in Hastings, that's where Rivertown Court and Mississippi Terrace, the senior affordable housing apartments are under the Community Development Agency, as well as the townhouses by the library, the townhouses by Carboni's Pizza. Those are there. And those are, you have to have a family and have to have a job. So those are really kind of, think your retail worker, your nursing home assistant, nursing assistant. So, you know, they don't make the greatest pay, but they work hard. Mm-hmm. And and having over half of your salary go to housing, that makes it very hard to be able to be safe and stable. So so we've kind of worked on the on that aspect in there. So that's kind of this year's theme. So we've done our benchmarks of what we already do, and kind of where the CDA played a major role in that. But we also have things like our, you know, in this scenario, we have a 137 shelter rooms for homeless individuals in Dakota County, and we've, one of our projects that has a wait list, but if you're in a lower income level, and how do you stay in your home? I think that's a big deal, is don't go to a nursing home or until you very much have to. So there's a lot of housing projects. You need a new furnace, you need new leaky windows, and you need them repaired in there. So there, we have some funds. Last year we helped 55, we did 55 home improvement projects for low income seniors in Dakota County. That we were all across the whole county being able to help out with. So that's working on there. We have home buyer education program. So that, this will just give some of the benchmarks of what we've been doing at the kind of on a performance benchmarks, but also a theme. This year's theme, or this one was that. But then we also was housing. But then we talk about a lot of other topics as well.
Kind of like what?
Okay. We always have a component, as we said, on what's going on in our parks. So that's we highlighted our newest park improvements, which is Thompson County Park up in West St. Paul.
Right.
That is our, we had built our very first inclusive playground. So that's a kind of zero entry. So if you are in a wheelchair, you're able to use most of the park equipment, playground equipment. So that's our only playground that has a full inclusive park side of that. But so we did another $4 million upgrade to Thompson County Park after the master plan on that. And so we highlighted some of the things that we did with that. We always have an environmental component. So, you know, there's a lot of federal and state mandates that are put on, and they ultimately end up at the table with the county. So we talked about this newsletter a little bit about the recycling requirements on mattresses. In fact, the legislature's debating making it even more hard, more challenging to do, or because mattresses are a very hard thing to recycle, and they're also very they don't break down in a landfill.
So there's
been just some very interesting things that the county has been partnering with on that, on kind of the environmental green side of that part in there. So we've started some of the our own county initiatives and partnered with our garbage haulers in there. So like last year, over 1,500 mattresses in Dakota County that were going to go into a landfill ended up, there is a recycling program to cut them up, rip them up, take the metal that you can out of them. So, but it's a lot more work. It's to make something like that happen. But over 1,500 mattresses in Dakota County alone that were going to go in the landfill were able to go through this program here. So,
very nice.
So that's kind of a neat thing in there. I think also our organics program is, you know, one of the features in that. You know, we're almost to the point where every large city has an organics drop-off location in Dakota County. So Hastings, for the listeners, has the one right by the county shop. And I was just chatting with a resident who goes there and went and said, I just can't believe how busy it is. And the county was telling me that you're technically supposed to sign up for it so that they can kind of, they'll send you the information on what can you actually put into organics, what can you not, and that. And they said that there's far more organics coming into Hastings than the number of people signed up for it. So I think that's been one thing. And, you know, most people assume organics is just your leftover food and all that. But toilet paper rolls, paper towel rolls, Kleenexes. So, you know, when you go through the cold season, most of those Kleenexes all end up in your garbage can.
Right.
But those are actually organic.
Yeah.
So all of your we went in when cold season hit our household. We had a separate garbage can that we put all of them in, and I was able to go in and we just
drop them off.
We used one of the organic bags, and we put it in our little bathroom, mm-hmm. and we made sure that that's where we dumped them. And every single one of those was able to go in and be organic. And for the county, that all goes to Empire Township. There's organics place. There's only two in the entire metro area, and one of them happens to be in my district in Empire Township.
Nice.
And with that, we right now they're coming to capacity, but we've said that with this new lease, we want to make sure that our Dakota County stuff, since it's a landfill in our county, that our stuff goes there first and does that. You know, right, all of Target Field, for example, which just won an award for being, I think, the most green ballpark in all of Major League Baseball.
Okay,
because 100% of their stuff is recycled or goes into environmentally friendly practices, but all of their organics ends up in Dakota County. So their garbage ends up in our county. So
all those little hot dog boats that you get your hot dogs in, they all wind up out in Empire Township.
They certainly do. And then you know what? If you go and buy some compost at one of the large big box stores, pretty good chance it's coming from Dakota County, because the company that does that sells to all the major retailers on that. So we're kind of doing our part as a county. But that's just kind of a fun benchmark in there. And then, you know, the last one that we kind of was a highlight this year is we do something either on kind of the just all sorts of crazy things that we have in there, but also with the performance is just kind of where is your tax dollar going? And
right.
What are those facts in there? So
here's
our work in Dakota County, and here's some, you know, tidbits of kind of information. You know, for example, something you probably would never think about, but the county is responsible for collecting, you know, your fees for probation, your fees for some child support, things of that sort there. In 2020, they collected $35 million.
Wow.
In that stuff there. That's just one of the responsibilities that they have to do. Another one is that I think makes people feel, we know that we need to go and help those who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes someone says they're in need and they're truly not.
Right.
So we also have a division within Dakota County that spends their time making sure that if government dollars were spent there that should not have been, the fraud and overpayment, we call it the overpayment, overpayment division, which is probably nicer than calling it fraud, because sometimes it's not intentional.
Right. Sure.
So it's the overpayment division, and that collects millions of dollars of money that was given to individuals and businesses that ended up it shouldn't have gone to them.
Right.
So that's just kind of some of the really neat things that go on here. And
one of the other things too, going back to the parks and recreation, and I know we talked about it in our last segment, but there's exciting things going on down at Billsby Park, the renovations up at Char's Bluff. Go over those briefly again for me again really quick. Let's start at Billsby Park. The county just completed the purchase of private land to add to the park. I'd like to go over that again, please.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, we made the purchase of 113 acres to go in and expand on the west end of the which fit part of what was the master plan. So there's, I think, 100 and roughly 30 acres that were part of the plan but were not part of the But that were not owned by the county. So that allows that. And then during 2020, we had the grand opening last fall, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We made a number of improvements on the east end of the park where the campgrounds are. And so that was all done in that part there. So,
and then up at Char's Bluff, well, we talked about renovations there, returning a lot of that land to the natural prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another big draw for that coming up is the bison.
Mm-hmm.
What's the status on that right now?
So the bison will be here by fall.
Okay.
I think the official ribbon cutting is like the end of October, early November.
Okay.
Is when it will be there. So that is on track, and they've identified the purebred bison that will be coming to Dakota County, and so all of the 13 animals, I think that's the number they've come on.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Have all been identified, are born, and I believe it's 11 females and 2 males.
Okay.
Or it might be 12-1. But,
okay. And are they coming from a source like out west? Where are they coming from?
So there is, I believe, 2 coming from the Minnesota Zoo.
Okay.
I believe there's one. So I think there is also one coming from down at Prairie Island, if I believe right. They have a bison herd down at Prairie Island. But they're also coming from multiple states. So out west is...
Because when you think bison, you think like South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and
also, there's a mixture that's coming from Minnesota and beyond.
All right,
that part in there, and you know all of that is part of when we do a park, we do park master plans, and then we do receive some funding from the state of Minnesota and the state legislature, and that's some of what helps us make our improvements. Is we do a plan, we've made our case on our plan, and really the money that comes from the state is more on the infrastructure side.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've been able to now merge our natural resource plan together and do one big plan that addresses both. And then we use the, you know, lottery funds or the sales tax funds to be able to be our partner on that. So we've really been able to leverage a lot of our park system is in the regional side here. We do receive in terms of the infrastructure and the natural resource side, that's typically about 60 to 80% paid for by the other people, not by the county.
Sure.
But then, in terms of the operations of that, that is over 80% paid for by all of us as taxpayers and residents of the county. Even though by state statute, about 40% of it is supposed to be paid for by the state, they've averaged about 12%.
Oh, so, well, so 12% is better than 10, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. So.
So the county newsletter has come out. It's been mailed out already. If you live in Dakota County, don't throw it away. We give a really broad overview of some of the stuff in there. A lot of interesting details. The six-page pullout section in the middle that has events going on at our parks, like there's music in the park summer, performance. Mm-hmm. There's some place that do movies. All kinds of prairie things going on. Mm-hmm. Pull that section out, use it, get out, get your family out, and enjoy the summer. We have to wrap up here, but at this point, as always, Commissioner Slavik, I'd like to give you the chance to provide your contact information if anybody has questions or concerns.
Absolutely. And also, one other thing that's in our newsletter, the very last page has all of myself and
there
my seven colleagues with our contact information, so you do get that a couple times a year. Otherwise, if you go to the Dakota County website and click on Board of Commissioners, you will get myself and all of my other colleagues' contact information, as well as a general number if you need to email something to the whole board.
Okay. So I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.